Thank you, Lord, for your word. You know, I have a few notes here. You know, when we got to over in Albuquerque, I think it was Wednesday night, Bill Johnson made this statement, and I wrote it down first. You cannot stay in peace if you don't give up your rights to understand what's going on in the time of trouble. I thought, now that's cool. Why are you giving that to me this early? And so I wrote it down. Little did I know that by Friday we'd be in a mess of sickness. We go to a healing convention and we all get sick. Seven of the eight of us were sick. We got sick at the meeting.
Yes.
Come on.
Not of the meeting, at the meeting. Yes.
It's, you know. But I got that word because, you know, when you go to something like that to understand healing and you get sick, it kind of throws a little kink here. But he had already said, you're going to lose your peace if you don't give up your rights to understand what's happening when things are going rough.
Thank you.
See, that's the time. Isaiah 26:3 says, he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee,
yes,
because
Lord,
you trust in him.
Thank you, Father.
You trust in him. And you know, when Jim started out about a while ago, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. All of that armor that he's given you to put on has nothing to do with fighting. It has to do with standing.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Yes.
He's done the fighting. And all that's left for us to do is stand in what he's done for us. See, so that's what this thing, we're learning. You know, the thing about it is, I'm more into seeking God for healing for the body than I've ever been. This didn't affect me one bit. Not one bit. Because I know one thing. I'm just as much healed from sickness as I was from sin.
Yes.
It's all based on Isaiah 53.
Yes.
He took it for us so we don't have to carry it. And we're going to get a handle on this thing because the enemy is fighting hard to keep us from going there.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
This one book we read, I was looking at, says you don't have any more right being sick as you do being sinner. A Christian has no more rights being sick than he does being a sinner. And we're not sinners anymore, are we? And we're not sick anymore, are we? Positionally, we have been healed. 2,000 years ago, he took it so we don't have to carry it. And we're going to press on into that. But one of the things that God put in my heart, he says, healing is a work of the cross. The resurrection, which we're coming to, is your health. He doesn't want us just dealing with healing. He wants us to walk in health. Health is a part of the resurrection of Christ. So we don't need to camp around just healing. Why don't we just move up another ladder? Why don't we go up a little deeper and just stand in our health? You get it? See, he wants us to come up higher. The enemy wants you to stay focused on something else. But he wants you to live in health. Health is the goal, not healing. Healing's a byproduct of health. I got that over in Albuquerque, sitting there wondering why I was sick. When all this here, we went over to find out about healing. He said, there's something a little above a healing. It's health. And I have made you healthy. Anyhow, that's not my message. But anyhow, that's where we started. But I was thinking about some of the things I heard in California and some of the things the Holy Spirit spoke. He says, God's goodness is the seedbed for the healthy prophetic. Let me say it again. God's goodness is the seedbed for the healthy prophetic. Seedbed. See, in Romans chapter 2, it says, don't you know it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance? It's his goodness. You know, Moses said, show me your glory. And God said, okay, I'm going to cause my goodness to pass before you. See, it's the goodness of God that's the foundation of everything we believe. His goodness, not his wrath, not his anger, it's his goodness. A love for people has to come before the prophetic ministry is any of any real value for you. Love for people has to come. And the thing about love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by what? By the Holy Ghost. And God gives us a heart of love for people. It's not something you can work up. It's not something you can change. It's something you receive. The effective prophetic ministry, and this is something the Holy Spirit showed me as I watched Sean Bolt's minister. He said the effective prophetic ministry is like a three-legged stool. The three legs are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the prophetic. They all work together as one. Effective prophetic ministry is like the three-legged stool. The three legs are word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and the prophetic. And that comes from the new heart. Oh, it's good. The culture of the kingdom is the love of God. That is, kingdom culture is God's love. We are not waiting on God. We are waiting in God. Oh, that's so important. You know, the thing, as I was singing that song, is a good song, but it just wasn't scriptural. That, you know, we're trying to get to him and we're running after him. Hey, you're already in him. And we're not trying to go up higher. We're seated with him in heavenly places already. We got to start seeing our identity as who we really are, right? See, that's really who we are. It's not a struggle to get somewhere. It's a revelation of where we already are. That's what we've been working on for years. But it shows you how hard it is to get that mentality of who you really are. And that's who we are. As he is, so are we now in this present world. How is he? It's not the Jesus it was, it's the Jesus it is. Wow, that's awesome. The creator of the whole universe. Now, this comes with what I heard Bill say. This is another word. It is the weakness of unbelief to live in a reaction to what the devil is doing. See, if you're not careful when you go through hard times, and your reaction usually is in unbelief or negative or anger, and you're allowing the enemy, the devil, to feed that thing, and you lose your peace. You with me? What did Paul say? I'm amazed at what Paul went through. I mean, you see the list of all. I don't think anybody ever suffered as much as Paul, because God said, I want to show him how much he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. All the things he went through. And his statement, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry that I have received of the Lord to testify of the grace of God. None of them move me. See, I think the church, we need to grow up and not allow things to move us as much as they do. We're going to go through those things. We're not going to stop in the middle of them. We're going to go through them. So don't lose your peace. You know, he is your peace. You're living by the peace of another. Just change gears and slip over into another realm of trusting him with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he what? Will direct your paths. In a Revelation 19:10, it was said, the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. What Jesus has done, he will do. The testimony of what he has done is what he will do. Did you catch it? Woo! Psalms 119:11 says, thy testimonies have I taken for my heritage. That's just a few little nuggets I got. I know y'all got some nuggets. But I've been sitting on some of these. But I look at them every once in a while and see these things that they're real nuggets that God wants us to have so we can walk in. But right now, I want to talk to you about the mind of Christ. Because the mind is so closely related to the heart. And I want to talk to you. All right, chapter 2. See, aren't you proud of me? I'm going to turn there. Verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, fellowship of the Spirit, bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may what? Kind of minded. Like-minded. Same mind. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. Having the same love, being of one accord in one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. How many of you know there's a lot of things going on through vainglory? Oh. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others before themselves or better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, made of himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, let it be. Let this mind be in you. See, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." If we have the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you. It's not something you have to work at. You just got to let it rule. You have two minds working, but let that mind be in charge. Why is 2 Corinthians 10:5 there? Bring into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't allow those thoughts to go into your mind that doesn't originate with the Lord Jesus or what his finished work for you has done. Cast the thing out. Cast it down. Pull it down. Don't let that thing operate in your life. Bring it into captivity. Take authority, I put down, over those old thought patterns and rebuke them. Romans 8:7 says, "The carnal mind is not subject to God, neither indeed can it be." It's hostile. It's hostile towards God. The old natural mind. You know, we was talking to the coffee shop about scriptures and Bibles and all this stuff. And it's amazing how much the old mind wants to get in there and try to rule. And this thing's supernatural from start to finish. This whole thing is led of the Spirit. We're in another realm, not in the natural. And it says, "They that be in the flesh," the next verse, "cannot please God." But it says, "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." He said, "That's not who you are anymore. You've been exchanged. You're in the Spirit." And so, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Amen? You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we are new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and what? All things have become new. Colossians 1:13, "Who hath delivered us," say hath, "from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Oh, 1 John 4:4, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." You know, that's the thing I realized. I used to think about the armor that he's given us to put on. And there's not a whole lot of offensive things to go out and chop the devil up with. You know, I used to wonder, why doesn't he give us more things so we can go do all these things? And until you realize he's done these things. He's just given you the victory and the armor that comes with having won the victory. And your job is just to stand. Wow. Why? Because you can enjoy the victory. You can just stand in as more than a conqueror. He's already conquered. You're just more than a conqueror. So we got to learn how to stand. Stand. Stand still, he said, and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand. Isaiah chapter 30, it says what? Your strength. What? Your strength comes from resting. Your strength comes from resting. God told Paul, your strength comes from resting because your strength is made perfect in my power. Most gladly, therefore, will I what? Just rest. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. First John 4:4, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and what kind of mind?" Sound mind. Now, we all have a brain. and we have a new mind, and we have an old mind. Let's let this old brain be reprogrammed with the new mind. Let this, if you be reasoned with Christ, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid in Christ, with Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. Why? Because Ephesians 2 says you're seated with him already in heavenly places. So quit trying to get somewhere where you already are. Amen. You're already seated with him in heavenly places already now. That's who you are. Ooh, glory. Legally, now, legally, absolutely legally, you have no hang-ups. Not one. They're all been taken care of. Not one. It's been taken care of. Everything's been taken care of. Romans 6:11 says what? Reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon yourselves to be dead. Reckon yourself to be alive in Christ. Spend more time reckoning yourself to be alive than reckoning yourself to be dead. Don't let the enemy keep trying to force you to be thinking, I'm trying to die. No. Yes. Jesus killed you 2,000 years ago when he hung on the cross. You died with him. Yeah. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth do not serve sin, because sin will not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. Reckon yourselves dead indeed. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Let not sin reign in your mind, in your brain anymore. Do not give it a place. It has no rights there anymore. Knowing this, we got to know it, don't we? That your old man was crucified with Christ. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth not serve sin. For sin will not have dominion over you anymore. You know this. You were crucified. So you remember what the Lord said? That thing that's bugging you is what? Familiar spirit trying to pull you back into thinking you're still alive. No, you're not. If he crucified you, I can assure you, you were crucified. And you can surely reckon yourself to be dead, because if he killed you, you're dead. He will not. The devil cannot raise you, and you can't raise yourself, because we've been raised together with him. You're raised all right, but it's into the newness of life, not the oldness. You know, you have to keep hearing these things till you begin to believe them. You have to keep hearing them till you begin to believe them. And I mean believe them. Psalms 42:11, God is my health. God is the health of my countenance and my God. Reckon yourselves to be dead to sickness. I'm telling you, he's the great physician as well as the great redeemer. We're just as healed as we are delivered from sin. It's all been paid for. We're alive to his health. By his stripes we were healed. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend unto my words and incline your ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health, what? Health to the flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We're going to talk about the heart. But see, your heart, God saw your heart, and it says in Jeremiah 17, he says, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? And God saw the wickedness of man, it grieved God in his heart that he'd made man. So, God's not interested in patching up your old heart. That's why he's given you a new heart and a new spirit. He's taken away the stony heart and given you a heart of flesh. He's not into repairing, he's into new. We call that what? Exchange, Jerry? Do we call that exchange? Keep your heart with all diligence. Once more, that's standing and guarding what he's given you. Just keep it, because out of it comes life. Woo. John got a revelation. You want to share the revelation with the rest of us? You saw something a while ago.
Oh, I was just looking at that verse.
Compared with yours? Go ahead.
Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life.
Yeah, it's the issues. It's wellsprings. Woo, out of your belly shall spring what? Rivers of what kind of water? Living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, that they that believe into him should receive. What? Should. You don't have to, but you get to. It does make a difference. Psalms 27, 1 through 6 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Who do we have to be afraid of? Nothing. 1 Corinthians 1, 30 says, confess that God has given you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Of him are you in all of these things. He has given you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. What's left? He's given it all. Why? That no flesh will glory in his presence. No flesh. How much flesh? No flesh. What would the church look like today if there was no flesh glorying? What would it look like if there was no flesh glorying in services? Wow. You know what? It would be perfect peace. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the author and the finisher of your faith. It's not your faith, it's his faith. It's so awesome. It's just so awesome. I wish I'd learned this 50 years ago. I do. Just think where we could be today if we didn't struggle for those all those years trying to become what we already were. Huh? Wow. Hebrews 2:14 says, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through his death he might destroy him that hath the power of the death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subjects to bondage. Jesus has the keys of death and hell. Death is already a defeated foe. Death has no more dominion over you. Why? Because you've been resurrected. You're already in life. You're already in eternity. You're living there already, even though you hadn't crossed over. Jesus said, he that believeth into me will what? Never die. Never die. One of these days, Jenna's got a little book. I want her to read some stories out of it. But they talked about that thin veil between where we are now and the other side. It's just right there. It's right there. There's too many people we've saw dying that sees the other side while they're still here. Ah, it's glorious. Satan is still alive and well in the world, right? But he has no dominion over you if you stay in union with him that created you in righteousness. The key word is union. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. I know John Julake said, the day I realized Psalms 91, the promises of Psalms 91, Satan had no more dominion over me. The privilege of a man to live in the blessings of Psalms 91. Abiding in the shelter of the Most High. See, that's the key. Staying where he can't touch you. Sin is alive in the well. But this man Jesus, after he offered one sacrifice of sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. How many sacrifices? Forever. It's eternal. There's no more sacrifices for sin. He took it all. Hebrews 10:12. Isaiah 44, verse 4. He says, this is relations of John. God was saying, my children have suffered enough. And he says, John the Baptist, he's sending. He says, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Of his fullness have we all received grace in exchange of grace. And he says, And the glory shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Isaiah 42:16 says, I will bring the blind by the way they know not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. At the new birth, you and I legally received the mind of Christ. Exchanged the mind of Christ. But we know the things that's freely given to us because it's been given to us. John 1:16, of his fullness, have we all received grace in exchange of grace. One grace on top of another. Oh, it's incredible. Galatians 2:20 says, we are living by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Ephesians 4:23-24, and he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be what? Exchanged is what that is. Exchanged in the spirit of your mind. Live in that new mind. Let that mind be in you. Meditate on it. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You are as righteous as you'll ever be. You are as holy as you'll ever be. Let your mind begin to see all of that. The very righteousness of God and his holiness is yours. Because we just read, he's made unto us all that stuff. It's a gift of God, not of works, so we don't need to boast about it, do we? Oh, Colossians 3:10. Put on the new man. Put off the old. Put on the new. Which is renewed in the knowledge of God after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. He is in all and you are in him. Every time it says that Christ is in you, there's 10 more verses that says that you're in him. Don't get hung up with just Christ being in you. The big deal is you're in him. And think about you being in the creator of the whole universe. Living and moving in him. Because in him we live and move and have our being. And that word being means we are. The Greek says, in him you live and move and are. I am, you are. Wow, that's incredible. That's who you are. Matthew 12:34-35, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. See, the key here is where we're going to be going next week about the heart. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. See? So what you comes out of your mouth, it doesn't necessarily come out of your brain. It comes out of your heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. James says, out of the same fountain proceeds bitter and sweet. This ought not be. So see, as we learn to tap into the new heart, the heart, it will be training our mind, our brain, what to say. Amen? God said, I put my words in your hearts and in your minds. And I'll be your God and you'll be my people. In Luke 8:15, it says, the sower went forth to sow. We know that. But it says, but he that's on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart. Where did they get the honest and good heart? He gave it to you. Having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Out of the honest and good heart brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Evil heart or good heart? That's why God gave us a new heart. Amen. And he put it, in, you know, that's where I said earlier. Genesis 6:5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. And it repented, that word regretted and sorrowed the Lord, that he had made man upon the earth. And it grieved him in his heart. Did you know we're made in God's image, and God is a spirit, but he has a heart, and he has a soul. You'll find plenty of verses where he said his soul was grieved, his heart was grieved. We are made in his image. He is just like we are. He's three parts, just like we are. And it grieved his heart that he had made man. That's why Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful and desperately what? Wicked. Who can know it? So you see all the wickedness and all the stuff going on in government. You see all this mess we're living in this world. It's just because they're living out of their own heart. Isn't it? We need heart exchanges.
Yes.
That's what's missing. Because that old heart cannot do anything but do what it does. There's only one answer for this world and this United States is a new heart.
Yes.
And you know what you was reading a while ago. There's just one way. There's not many ways. There's only one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's a heart issue. And according to Hebrews 8, verse 10 through 12, he has put his words in our hearts so we can be his people. And you don't have to teach every man his neighbor know the Lord. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to show you who he is. It's exciting. Well, I'm down to page 3. Next week, a heart to know me. I will give you a heart to know me. Now listen, that's past tense. He has given you a heart to know him already.
Amen.
You don't have to pray for a heart to know him. He's already given you a heart to know him. That's exciting. It's not trying to get somewhere. It's not searching for something. It's just resting in the finished work that he's done. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us. And Lord, we'd ask you to continue to open our eyes to what we already have in you. And we thank you, Lord, for paying the price for every bit of it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. Oh, no, wait a minute. I got it here somewhere. I got a blessing. Here it is. Stand to your feet. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. You know, he said bless and what? Curse not.
That's right.
Our job is to bless and what? Curse not.
That's right.
Why don't we spend more time blessing all this mess that's going on instead of cursing it? What do you think would do more good?
Probably the blessing.
Let's do more blessing. The Lord blesses you and keeps you.
Yes.
The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and is gracious to you. The Lord has lifted his countenance
yes.
upon you and has given you his peace.
Woo!
Glory, Lord. The Lord blesses you, keeps you, and makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lifts up his countenance upon you and has given you the Prince of Peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen.